Good morning. Let's all stand. Join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. It's who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer this Easter Sunday morning. Heavenly Father, today we come before you with grateful hearts, rejoicing in the truth that changed the world. Christ is risen. Death has been defeated. The grave has been overcome. The power of sin has been broken. Lord, we thank you that you, what looked like the end, was only the beginning. When darkness covered the earth, you were already at work. When hope seemed lost, you were preparing victory. And when the stone was rolled away, you declared once and for all, life has won. Father, we thank you that because Jesus lives, our sins are forgiven. Our past is redeemed. Our future is secure. We thank you that we are not left in our brokenness, but are invited into a new life through him. Lord, I pray for every person here today. For those who are full of faith, strengthen them. For those who are struggling, encourage them. For those who feel stuck in the darkness, remind them that resurrection power still works today. And Lord, as we go from this place, may we carry this truth. The tomb is empty. Christ is alive. And because he lives, we have life. We give you all the glory and praise in the name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see you this morning. Don't y'all look purty?
Thank you.
I feel like an Easter egg this morning. Looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. Now, John is writing this. John always referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. So he's talking about himself. So it comes to Peter and John, and she says, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple, talking about John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked into the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw three strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in his place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, talking about himself, John, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary also had come back with them. Now she stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head with the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away,
tell me where you've put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. So every year on Easter Sunday, Christians all over the world gather to celebrate one extraordinary claim. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Not symbolically, not metaphorically, not spiritually, but physically, historically, and literally. Now let's be honest, that's a big claim. I mean, people usually don't come back from the dead. So, but didn't Jesus raise people from the dead? He did. And I'm sure the families and everyone around them were thrilled when he did that. But the bad news is they had to die again. I mean, dying once is bad enough. Can you imagine you have to do it twice? The difference with Jesus is that once he rose is once and for all eternity. Because Christianity is not built on good advice, nice teaching, and positive thinking, that's why Easter matters. It is built on a single historical event. A man who was dead came back to life permanently. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In other words, if the resurrection did not happen, we are wasting our time right now. You could be home eating ham already. But Paul is saying, look, if this didn't happen, shut it down. People think Christianity is based on the good teachings of Jesus like some of the prophets. No, without this, Christianity ends. It's the power of the resurrection that changes everything. Christianity doesn't continue without the resurrection. It collapses. But if it did happen, then everything changes. And that's what Easter is all about. It is the day death was defeated, hope was restored, and history was changed forever. So John tells us something very interesting on that Easter morning. He says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. So she's up early, early, before the sun goes up. It's still dark. She heads to the tomb. So Easter begins in the dark, not in celebration, not with trumpets, not with Sunday service band warming up, getting ready for the service. It started in grief, darkness, heaviness. The disciples all thought everything was over. They were devastated. No way did they expect this to happen on that Good Friday, that Jesus would be grabbed and beaten, treated like a criminal. It's bad enough to be arrested or to be killed, murdered, but he's arrested, treated like a criminal, crucified with other criminals. This is humiliating. 3 days earlier, they had watched Jesus die on the cross in the worst of ways. Their hopes were gone. Their dreams were shattered. The Messiah they believed in had been killed like a criminal. And now they're thinking, we might be next. So they're hiding. They're afraid. And you can understand, they're confused, completely confused. Then Mary comes to the tomb while it is still dark. So here's a powerful truth already. God often does his greatest work in the darkest of moments. If you're in a dark place this morning, take heart. All is not lost. When Mary arrives, she sees something shocking. The stone has been rolled away. Now, this is no small rock. This is a big Yo Mama stone. It's not something you move with one hand while holding your coffee in the other. It's not the kind of thing you nudge with your foot. It's the kind of stone where you look at it and go, yeah, I'm not moving it. But it's moved. It's gone. It had been sealed and guarded. Now it's open. So does Mary think he's alive? No. She assumes the worst. Why not? Everything that could possibly go wrong so far has gone wrong. They figured they took his body, stole his body, maybe to humiliate it and do horrible things to it. They used to do that back in Roman days, way after Roman days. They did this for a long time in history. They would take bodies of their enemies and nail them, you know, on the wall or something of the castle. Nobody expected a resurrection, not even the people closest to Jesus. The resurrection was not something they were hoping for. It was something that shocked them. So Peter and John run to the tomb after Mary tells them, look, the stone has been rolled away. And I love this part. John says he outran Peter. It has nothing to do with the resurrection. It's just a guy thing. He's saying, by the way, I'm faster than Peter. They look inside. They see something strange. The burial cloths are there, but the body is gone. Now, you'd think if they grabbed the body, they would have grabbed it intact, still wrapped, because these guys like wrapped around like mummies when they were buried. They would take it and drag it out if they're going to disgrace the body in some way. But the body's gone, but the linens are all still there. They are completely, totally confused. The empty tomb is the foundation of Christianity. Christianity rises on and falls on one thing. The tomb was empty. This is just not a religious idea. This is a historical claim. And the question has been asked for 2,000 years. Why was the tomb empty? If the resurrection were false, it would have been easy to shut Christianity down. All the authorities would have to do is produce the body. That's it. Game over. But they couldn't. If they could have, there'd be no church. There'd be no Bible movement. There'd be no Easter services like today. But they couldn't. Though I'm sure they tried. They were all freaking out. Where is he? Because there was no body. So Mary stays at the tomb. She's crying. She's devastated. She's freaked out. It's been a rough couple of days. And then she sees someone, but she doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener, which makes sense because the tomb was located in a garden. And Jesus asks her, why are you crying? And then he says her name, Mary. In that moment, everything changes. The one she saw crucified, the one she saw buried, the one who was dead beyond any doubt is now standing right in front of her, alive. By the way, historians are really stunned that the first ones to see all of this were women. Say, so why is that? Because they didn't count women very high. They were counted with the sheep and the cattle. You know, there's people, you know, who are critical of Christianity. They say, Christianity pushes women down. Nay, nay, I say unto thee, nay. It was the first group ever that lifted women up. The first ones witnessing to all of this were the women. The resurrection was witnessed. This is critical. It wasn't private. It was witnessed. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And one of the other gospels implies there's more women with her. There are two men on the road to Emmaus. He appears to them. He eventually appears to the disciples. The Apostle Paul wrote that at one time Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at one time. And Paul said, this is really interesting. Paul says, now at this time, he says, most of them are still alive. When he wrote this, most of these 500 people are alive. What he's saying is, if you don't believe me, go ask them. This wasn't a rumor. It wasn't a myth. It was a public, verifiable event. The resurrection changed the disciples. Before Easter, they were hiding, afraid, confused. After Easter, they were bold, preaching publicly, risking their lives. What happened? Well, the impossible became possible. And when you experience that, it changes everything. That's why I encourage people to pray. When you get in trouble, don't just panic. People say, I pray. No, you're going, oh, God, oh, God. That's not praying. That's freaking out. I'm talking about really coming to God, asking God to answer prayers in your life. And when he starts answering prayers, it makes an impact on you. You can imagine the impact here, but even small things make a powerful impact. When you see the impossible become possible, everything changes. As for the disciples, they saw a dead man alive. That changed everything. What does the resurrection mean? It means death is not the end because Jesus rose. Death is not final. The resurrection proves that the cross worked. No matter how dark things look, God can bring life out of death. It doesn't feel like that when you're going through very dark times. It feels like everything's over. Maybe you're mourning the loss of someone. Maybe your loved one cheated on you. You know, maybe something awful happened to your kids. One of your loved ones dies early. I mean, there are people who walk in serious dark moments, and it feels like it's never going to change. But I have good news for you today. It's going to change. The resurrection changes everything. If Jesus rose, God is real. Jesus is Lord. The Bible is true. Forgiveness is available. Eternity is real. So the question this morning is, what will you do with Jesus? You can ignore him, you can reject him, or you can believe him. Early that morning, it was dark, hope was gone. Everything looked finished, but then the stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty, and Jesus was seen alive. Because of that, hope is alive, forgiveness is real, eternal life is possible, and death has been defeated. And the amazing thing about Easter is this. The worst thing that could happen became the best thing that ever happened. Only God can do that. Here's a real simplistic message of Easter, not to oversimplify it, but if you could go back in time and go in the room where the disciples were hiding, all freaked out, thinking this is the end, and you couldn't really tell them what was going to happen, you might say something like, guys, wait a couple of days. See what happens. You know, one of the difficult things, particularly for those of you who are very young, when young people go through something, it's devastating to them. And they reel, and it's like they can't recover. Why? Because it's the first really bad thing that's ever happened to them. You know, my boyfriend dumped me, why? Maybe because you're texting him every 20 seconds. I don't know why. But they think it's the end. It's the end because it's the worst thing they've ever seen. I was talking with my friend Yakov Smirnoff last year. We were hanging out, and he was telling me about something terrible that had happened to him, and I was telling something terrible that happened to me. And we're sitting there smiling. I said, you know what's great about us? Because we're in our 70s now. He says, we've learned. Just relax. It's going to change. Right? You get perspective after a while. You live long enough, you get perspective. I got good news for you this morning. Nothing stays the same. If you're in a really bad place, the good news is it's going to change. And I got really bad news for some of you. If things are going really great today, it's going to change. And when it changes, don't freak out. You know, Peter wrote, don't react to things as if something strange were happening to you. That's what we think, right? Oh, this happened. I can't believe this happened. Really, just relax. Wait and see what happens. The simplest message from Easter. Just wait and see what happens. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. And because he lives, everything changes. And this isn't just something to admire, it's something to believe, something to embrace, something to lean into. It's something you can build your life on. Jesus is alive, and he is still calling people today and changing lives today. Amen. I'm going to invite our ushers to come and get ready to service communion this morning. This is when we reflect on what set this all up. Jesus at his Last Supper sat with his disciples, gave them the bread, said, this is my body, gave them the wine, this is my blood, established this sacrament for the rest of time, as long as we're on this earth. That's when we're supposed to reflect on the sacrifice that he made. His body was broken so we could be whole. His blood was shed so it could wash away all of our sins. And the Bible says that before we take communion, we're supposed to pause and examine ourselves. So with those words in mind, I'm asking you to all bow your heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we shouldn't have done, we did, and something that maybe that we should have done, we didn't. If we haven't loved you with our whole hearts, if we haven't loved others as we love ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray, have mercy on all of us gathered here. Forgive us of our sins. Strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And while heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning and you know you're here, you got invited here or just thought this is the thing to do on Easter. But you're thinking, you know, I've never really experienced what you guys are talking about, what you're singing about, what you're celebrating. Well, you can right now. In your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. And you can start your first steps of faith this morning as you encounter the risen Christ in your heart and life. Amen.